Hey, greetings, friends. My name's Andy Steele Smith. I'm minister to the gangs in Manenberg and across Cape Town, where they call me the gang pastor. Fairly much every time that my eldest daughter says goodbye to me, whether on the phone or in person, her catch cry is make good choices. So that's what I want to share a little on today, making good choices with God's wisdom and help. In my work in the townships, I'm regularly asked the question, how do I make good choices and how do I know if the decision I'm making is what God would have me do? And this is what I say. Firstly, if it's in the Word of God or the Bible, do it. And if it's not, don't. More specifically, if your decision actively conflicts with the Word of God, then don't do it. I think we have to reconcile that despite different translations, perspectives, cultural understandings, and even different levels of intellectual understanding of the Bible, that the Word was and is the indefatigable Word of God, or else the entire Bible is a lie. However, if we look at the life of Jesus, he gives us a perfect example of how to live a life that's honoring to God the Father and a model for making good choices. His life shows the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Matthew 5:17 says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Therefore, we should never use a single isolated verse to justify any theological position, let alone one that directly conflicts with the manner in which Jesus lived his perfect life, and thus lived out this passage that says that he fulfilled the law. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And working on the assumption that the Bible is the Word of God, then the start of this passage is key. All scripture is God-breathed, not some, not most, but all. The Bible also talks about taking prophetic words before a wise council of elders. And in the case of making decisions based upon the Bible, and particularly where we may not be certain of either what it says or what it means in a given circumstance, we have the ability to ask wise and godly people around us for their advice, and ideally people without any vested interest in the particular outcome. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." But my young friends in the townships often say to me, "But Uncle Andy, or but Pastor, what if I don't know the Word of God yet well enough?" So I say to them, listen to the still, small voice inside of you, the voice of the Holy Spirit. John 6:63 says, "The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life." And John 14:16-17 says, "And I will ask of the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives within you and will be in you." And Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And lastly, 1 John 4:4 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." But even then, some of my friends or the people to whom I minister will say, "But what if I cannot discern the Holy Spirit?" So I say to them to ask themselves, what would Jesus do? Friends, we've all seen those bracelets, the WWJD bracelets. What would Jesus do? And honestly, whilst the bracelets themselves may be a little cheesy, they actually are pretty wise. You see, they're designed to give the young believers who are most likely to wear them a constant reminder on their wrist of the final and what I believe to be the ultimate or catch-all way of determining God's will for us when making decisions. The Bible says that we know the voice of God. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I'll tell you great and hidden things that you've not known." John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." And Luke 24:30 says, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. My belief is that it was in the simple act of how Jesus broke the bread, an act with which the disciples were intimately familiar. This was the action that opened their eyes. And finally, friends, we know that Jesus was and is the Prince of Peace. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." So in our family, when we seek God's word, spirit, and voice in times of making decisions, or as my daughter would say, making good choices, we have the perfect mark by which to determine our path. Peace. His perfect peace. Amen. Friends, thanks for listening in. Make good choices this week. This is Andy Steele Smith. God bless.